Hey, everybody.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
This is a conversation I've been wanting to have for a little bit. I just wanted to talk about the Final Fantasy Pixel remasters, especially since they released them to consoles finally after what was a long period of time.
It was a while before we got those because I bought them all on PC.
I did too.
And played them on my laptop. And then I'm like, oh, now they're on Switch.
I only bought six initially because I knew they were coming to consoles and I wanted to wait.
But I played all of them when they came to consoles, and I got 100% trophy completion for each one, which was a little journey all on its own.
That's crazy.
So here's the advantage is when they brought it to consoles, they put in basically a cheat mode.
Mm-hmm.
I've played these games. I've played all of these games. I didn't need the challenge, but I wanted to see all the nooks and crannies and corners that I hadn't seen before. So on all of them, I just cranked that up so that like four times XP for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the game and I saw each and every corner of the game. It was a lot of fun. It really opened my eyes up on two.
I'm just thinking about getting like the Mind Flayer summon in Final Fantasy IV.
The Mind Flayer one was the hardest one to get, but they did a thing where on the moon in IV, from the Hummingways, you can buy sirens. You can buy them.
Yeah, yeah.
And sirens are, for the people at home, an item that lets you automatically fight the rarest encounter in whatever area you are.
It's how you get the pink tail.
Yeah. So you buy a bunch of those, then you go to the Mithril Mine, and you use them to summon Mind Flayers until you get the summon.
Mm.
Do you know about how to get them in games where they aren't sold?
With a lot of frustration.
It's super silly. You have to steal them with Edge from an alarm enemy that is found in the Giant of Babel, so you only have one opportunity. But you can steal as many of them as you want, but that depends on how long you want to stay in that Giant of Babel stealing from one enemy who doesn't really fight you. So that's how you get them. I got 250 of them that way in the translated version of the original game. So I never got that pink tail either.
I think I ended up getting two pink tails.
In the GBA version, I got enough pink tails to outfit everybody with the stuff.
Yeah, now they did, and this is across the whole Pixel Remaster, make like rare drops and stuff, I think, a little easier to get.
Yeah.
Because I do cycle through 4, 5, and 6 Remaster a lot. And I've gotten the goblin. I mean, and the goblin's like the easiest one to get.
Yeah.
But I've gotten it like half the playthroughs I've done. So
I only got it one time in the original version or whatever.
In the original, and I didn't know what it was. I threw it away.
That's great.
I had this thing in my inventory, and it just said goblin, and it was a circle.
It would have said imp. Yeah.
And I just threw it away.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well. I mean, if you've seen it, you might as well.
So for those who haven't played the Pixel Remasters, essentially what they are is they took the original Final Fantasies 1 through 6, and this is their definitive version. Now, they made the decision to not include any content that was added into, like, Game Boy Advance versions or other remakes. This is... from the very original release of the game, they reformatted them to fit a widescreen. They upscaled. It's still 8-bit pixel art, but it is 8-bit pixel art that looks perfect on an HD TV.
Yeah, and then beautiful.
Even like the fire effects and everything are... Mm-hmm. So it far surpasses what an NES could have possibly done.
Yeah.
But it maintains that 8-bit look. They are great, all of them.
The actual pixel art of them was supervised by Kazuko Shibuya, who is the original sprite artist of Final Fantasy. She's the other artistic mastermind besides Amano, who's behind them. She invented the design for like the Black Mage and the White Mage. Like those are her.
Yeah.
And she supervised this personally.
It shows. It's very good. I wish they had done it for Dragon Quest 1 through 6, but now I guess I've switched my hopes.
Well, they can't now.
Well, because they're doing the 2D
HD
for 1 through 3, and I hope they do it for 4, 5, and 6 as well, so that we'll have that definitive version of those 6.
But I'm saying that they can't have Akira Toriyama supervise them anymore.
True. Rip. Right.
Because yeah, rip.
So I thought maybe just real quick we could talk through the Final Fantasy games, mm-hmm, these pixel remasters, because it was quite the, it was a fun journey for me to 100% them. Like, I really enjoyed that. Of course, as you get further in the series, it became more and more work. Like, six, now thankfully six wasn't get all the rages, but it was get 100 rages or something like that.
I'm gonna ask you about what the most difficult trophy was from each one as we go down the list.
Let's see how good my memory is, because it's been a while. So Final Fantasy One, I think I did what my normal party, which is a fighter, a black belt, a white mage, and a black mage. Mm-hmm. That's just always what I've done.
I swap out the black mage for a thief. But yes, I did the same thing, because I like a ninja at the end. And I want to see how the ninja was at the end of this one.
How was the ninja?
Great. He's great.
Yeah. I did the most recently black, and usually the knight, the black belt, a red mage, and a white mage. I don't use a solo black mage.
That's also, yeah, that's very legit.
Yeah.
And also, of course, you got to fight and defeat War Machine.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the hardest trophy to get, because you had to fight him. You had to encounter him and then beat him.
Yeah.
I've beaten him in the NES version.
And I didn't even realize, like, each game has their own war mech, their own, like, super rare boss that is only available in one tiny area if you're lucky.
There's two?
I think two is the Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that was definitely the hardest one to get in two. I don't have a lot to say about one, because one is one.
Yeah,
I
mean, one is just a template. Well,
yeah, I mean
there's common. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just saying we've played it, we've reviewed it.
Yeah, I would say I wish, trying to keep it as faithful to the original as possible. I know. I didn't like that they went back to the old MP system of the charges.
Yeah.
I never liked that. I know that's like the Dungeons and Dragons, whatever, but
Wizardry, yeah. Also Dungeons and Dragons, but the first video game of it. Yeah, that's Wizardry that brought that to games.
But Final Fantasy II, playing it this way, because the mechanics of II always bothered me significantly. I hated the way, at least the way that I did grinding in II, which was to get into a fight and to spend the whole fight beating up your party as much as possible to gain, to level up their HP.
Yeah. No.
It wasn't that fun, and it killed the entire experience for me.
That is a great example, along with Portal and Undertale, of the internet ruining a perfectly good game.
Yeah.
Well, luckily,
they told you how to play it wrong and how to play it in a boring way that makes no sense.
Luckily, with this version, being able to turn on the cheat codes, so like it was four times your gains for everything, and just occasionally just giving you extra HP is an option.
Yeah, that's in the original game. The occasional HP just for no reason.
Apparently, you can boost it.
You can turn it. I like the granular where you can turn it on and off, because you can just turn it on and off. You can say automatically gain some HP, or only do it based on damage.
It allowed me to really experience that game for the first time, even though I'd played through it multiple times and hated it. But once the mechanics that bothered me were out of the way, I was able to actually, I think it's one of the best stories in Final Fantasy. Not the best, but it's great.
It is high ranking as a Final Fantasy for me.
Instead of trying to save the world from a great evil and the whole world is at risk, it really is. There's an evil emperor who is conquering country by country. He's wiped out my family. He has to be stopped. I have to stop this one guy, this one emperor. And it feels much more grounded and personal, as opposed to, we need to be sent 2,000 years in the past to fight the four elemental fiends who sent Garland into the future to become
king. I love that twist.
It's bizarre. I don't mind it. It's very convoluted. And then II is very simple in terms of, or straightforward, I should say, in terms of its plot. There's an evil empire. They're basically raining death and destruction. Like, cities cease to exist as you're playing II. They are wiped out.
II gets real intense.
But then it gets real metal, because you kill the emperor. You kill him.
You not only do that, you ride a dragon into a cyclone to, like, you know, it's like the crazy things that happen in this game are amazing.
You kill the Emperor, and then his lieutenant tries to take over, and you're like, well, now we got to go to deal with this piece of crap. So you go to deal with him, and then the Emperor comes back from hell.
He's like, I took over hell.
Yeah, I literally, you killed me, I went to hell, so I conquered hell, mm-hmm. and now I'm back to bring hell to earth.
Yeah, he's one like, of the most metal
badass.
It's like, hell is awesome. I'm going to, like, just, I don't care about taking over earth now. I'm going to destroy it so yeah. we can have more hell.
What a badass story, and what yeah. a great villain. It is very enjoyable.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because it's like, it took that guy, like, for me to kind of come to a realization, and, you know, maybe this is better for later in the discussion, but he kind of knocked Kefka down a few pegs for me, because I was like, dude, this guy's doing it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great.
I also, shout outs to X-Death, because I love his motivation, too, which is, I'm an evil tree, that's what yeah. I do.
No, 5 is just a lesson on properly disposing of waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haha, I turned into a splinter.
If you get a thorn in your foot, then have that looked at.
Yeah.
Immediately. Don't just keep limping around on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2 turns out 2 is... guy talk to beaver.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. That's guy.
Bizarre.
Guy's amazing.
Yeah.
So, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say something weird, which is that Maria has become one of my go-to characters in theater rhythm Final Fantasy.
Me too.
I love Maria. Yeah,
I think Maria's great.
So yeah, I was just going to say, as a talking about systems in Final Fantasy and how Final Fantasy 2 is, I used to also not like it because I also got fooled by the internet into thinking that it's too hard without beating it yourself mm-hmm. up. Turns out the encounter rate's so high, the enemies are going to hit you enough. Right, you're going to yeah. grow. What it is, and I've now finished my third playthrough of Final Fantasy II on a different system. I beat the Famicom original, the Pixel remaster, and the Game Boy Advance Dawn of Souls editions, none of which I did any grinding.
Yeah.
As you naturally play through the game, you just kind of get a blueprint in your head of what you want your characters to be like. And so Firion, for me, is the swordsman who also does black magic. So, you know, his ultimate move would be Flare, mm-hmm. and or, you know, and of course, Blood Sword against the final boss is amazing. So, you know, kind of working him up towards being able to do that. Maria, my white mage, but also the one who gets Psyche and Ultima, which are the two mm-hmm. best spells in the game. Well, Ultima's not, but it can be really good if you also level her up on everything else, because it, except for the original, it bases the damage that Ultima does based on what else you've mastered. So making her a jack of all trades, but also having her lean on white magic was really good.
Yeah.
So she kind of became my that go-to for me. And then Guy, I just left weapons off him, let his fists do the talking, and I gave him all the support spells.
Yeah.
And then you get Berserk on your characters and Wall and Blink and you know, and you have Essena like worked up enough where you can cure everything, because Essena doesn't work unless it's a certain level on certain status effects. Like, you have him like pounding away at those. And then I was just like, by the end of the game, I was like, man, I got this great balanced team and I'm just like melting everything. This mm-hmm. is amazing. Yeah. And I built it myself.
Yeah.
And like, that to me is the wizardry influence. It's building an engine to defeat, like, you know, the challenges and stuff. And that's what appealed to me about it. And that's what I like about that game, and eventually what, you know, would become the Saga series, which is what that, you know, kind of became.
And I like that. Yeah. I like that you build your own party the way you want, and you can do it with any character. 'Cause I do like red mage, black mage, white mage.
Yeah.
So Firion is like a red mage.
Mm-hmm.
Marie is a black mage, and Guy is really like a white monk, because I also have him using his fists, but he has all my healing.
Yeah, Guy, if you raise up his spirit, he is like so good at like healing and stuff. It's really awesome.
Another fun feature that they turned in for all of the games is the ability to, at the push of 2 buttons, turn random encounters on and off. Which is helpful when one of the things it wants you to do is open every treasure chest in the game.
Oh.
Like, okay, I've been in this. Did I miss a treasure chest? Also, quality of life stuff, like when you look at the map, it will show you. You can go down and see all the dungeons and see how many treasure chests out of how many that you've got.
Yeah.
The map biggest system in the original Famicom Final Fantasy II is ridiculous. It's the same thing as Final Fantasy I. You hold B and push select, and it accesses the map. Push B, select a magic spell. And if you do it in Final Fantasy II, it loads in this globe one line at a time. And as you push the directional buttons, it spins the globe one like pixel at a time. And but it's kind of necessary because you don't understand that the entire world is connected until you do this.
Because
it's the one Final Fantasy that has a map that is fully walkable.
Okay.
Except for, you know, the two islands, the Mysidia Island and the Black Mask Island. But anyways, for the most part, it's all accessible if you can fight the enemies. Which is a thing that speedrunners like to do, is go to Mysidia early and pick up stuff.
I love my speedruns.
So, Final Fantasy III. This was my first time beating Final Fantasy III. I had tried to play it multiple times, but I beat the Pixel Remaster version. The story is weak. And the story, I feel like the story is weak because it feels like it's two stories, neither of which finished. Because you start most of the game with the story of there was this great and powerful sorcerer who gave unto his three students three gifts. And one of the students was very dissatisfied with his gift because it was the gift of humanity. He didn't understand it. And so he's going to become evil and destroy the world. That's a fine story all by itself.
Very human.
Like, that's an entire story. That's great. Except they don't delve fully into that story because instead they then ditch it for the Cloud of Evil story, which is, oh, by the way, here's this other story about the forces of light and dark are in balance, and when one of them falls out of balance, a force has to come to put it back into balance. And so now the world is at threat from this thing. Wait, hold on. I just spent like 15 hours worrying about this guy who was pissed off at the present he got from his master, and now we've just completely switched tracks to a different story in a different game. Which also, that could be a good story to explore, but I feel like neither story gets the depth they deserve.
I actually like the Final Fantasy III story. I think it's weird, but what I like about it is that it's really the progenitor of the odd little plot twists that happen in like Final Fantasy VIII and IX, you know? Final Fantasy IX is informed a lot by Final Fantasy III, and I actually kind of appreciate that on that level.
It could have been stronger for me. And then, of course, the job system is fledgling.
It's fledgling. The thing that I don't like about it is there are parts where, like, the game wants you to use, like, telling you.
Yeah, you're required to do four black knights.
Everybody has to be made mini, so everybody has to be black mages, so they can still do damage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't like about it. I just want to pick the jobs that I want to use.
I completely agree.
And then figure out the different solutions.
It forces you.
Yeah.
If you're going to force some jobs on people, make everybody do Geomancer, like, because that one's interesting.
Right.
But yeah, having this job system where you can do customization for each of the characters, but then regularly forcing all four characters to be the same thing to progress.
Yeah. And then imagine it when you had the capacity points from the original. So you have kind of a limited number of times.
Yeah. Capacity points are a game changer for sure.
Yeah.
And then the end of the game is a very difficult spike of just like boss rush mode. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just do a series of super strong bosses.
Watch out for that chest, kid.
Yeah, this is one of my less favorite.
Honestly, now of the first six, three is the weakest for
me. Yeah, I think it is too. There's still
fun to be had with three, but it is the weakest of them.
Yeah.
Three to me is just the most intriguing. Because I really like what they kind of went for with it. But I mean, the thing about Final Fantasies and ranking them is, for me, it's just arranging the S tier.
Well,
it's the least of the extremely excellent games.
Mm-hmm.
It's the least extremely excellent.
Yeah.
But still amazing. And I really wish we would have gotten it initially along with two in the U.S. instead of going straight to four. Because I feel like RPG enthusiasts missed a lot not having these the experiments
in front of
sure,
them.
Yeah,
yeah, having the different things happen so that they would know, like that we would know that there's all this option, you know, all this variety mm-hmm. out there. And
I find it hilarious that like we didn't get Final Fantasy V because I thought it was too hard.
Or yeah,
and I'm like, what exactly? Because that is the easiest, most exploitable. Like,
I feel like
it's really like the Japanese people just thought we were too dumb.
I also kind of find it interesting how the needle kind of bounces back and forth, because one is job-based, yes. characters have no personality. Yeah. Two, characters have a lot of personality, very story-based. Three is job-based, jobs. Characters don't have personality. Four is very story-based, the characters have distinct personality and pre-assigned jobs. Five is job-based. The characters do have more personality in that one. But like, and then six is back to strong story focus.
That exact, evolution.
It's very different from the Dragon Quest approach to developing games. And I've made this, I've said this so many times, and I'll say it a million more times, I'm sure. Dragon Quest developers seem to focus in on what worked and what didn't. Let's refine what worked and make it better. Let's phase out what didn't work. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of keep refining the product over time. Whereas Final Fantasy, especially after 5, seems like they just, okay, throw everything away. Mm-hmm. Starting from scratch, what's a good Final Fantasy? Every time.
Yeah.
But you can even see it in these early games where they're kind of like bouncing between ideas, trying to find the one that they like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy are so hard to compare if you're really into both series.
I just did.
Well,
you're wrong.
I mean, if you have to compare them, you would say, well, here's what Dragon Quest informed Final Fantasy of and where Final Fantasy took it, you know? Because Dragon Quest had a job system before Final Fantasy did, and they did it better. They had the storyline beats before Final Fantasy did. Mm-hmm. And like, Dragon Quest is so much bigger than Final Fantasy for so long that you just kind of like, if playing through Final Fantasy, you're like, oh yeah, I see which Dragon Quest I got this from.
There is a future side quest I do want to do where we pick
in the US, it's our perception that Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy are on any kind of even keel.
Yeah.
Because Final Fantasy VII does so much more business over here and is designed to now, mm-hmm. whereas Dragon Quest can stay in Japan and be the biggest series ever.
Yeah. As a future side quest, I want to do a bit where we do a round table where we go through Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy and one stays and one goes. Dragon Quest I or Final Fantasy I? Which one gets to exist, which one doesn't? Final Fantasy II or Dragon Quest II? Which one? Anyway, that's a future one, because I think that might have some fun discussions.
Maybe.
Final Fantasy IV, I think, is going to be a briefer discussion here, because we've reviewed it. I love that game.
That's the only one I turned on 4X and just blazed through it.
I love that game to death. When I finished all six games at 100%, the very first thought that popped into my head was, I could play 4 again. It is a warm bath for me.
It is so.
I love the characters. I love the story. I wish we had more detail about the weird side. Where'd the Magus sisters come from? Where'd Dr. Luge come from?
Well, I loved that era of Final Fantasy where weird things happened and there was no explanation.
Not knowing, but I love the game so much that I want more of it, and all I have is the after years.
I was going to say, you get the after years and you don't want that.
The before years.
Final Fantasy IV is great in this version. We already talked about they added sirens.
Added flan princesses.
Torn on whether or not I wish they had added the ability to switch characters at the end like a lot of the remakes have now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm fine without it.
I do like the ending party, but I also like being able to spend more time with my friends.
Yeah.
Like swapping out Edge for Yang, which I always do.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they'd included like the Game Boy Advance.
And there's a weirdness
and stuff.
There's a weirdness to taking Yang to the moon, because in all the versions I've played where you can do that, behemoths do not react if Yang double power punches them.
Yeah.
Mm.
All they do is just sit there and wait to get killed.
That's and that that kind of demonstrates what I'm why I'm fine with the way the Pixel Remaster handled it, is because all the extra content from Final Fantasy 1 through 6 always feels tacked on.
Yeah.
To me, it never feels organically part of the story. There's nothing in the lore that makes me need to bring Edward back into my party and go to the moon with him. Like he has a great arc that closes, and just having him show up alive later on and still able to move around and stuff is just great. And Yang, you know, like, Yang was cool and stuff, but, you know, he did his self-sacrifice thing, and then you're also like, oh, hey, he's actually still alive, and I get a summon out of this.
There's also...
I've always felt like Final Fantasy IV is like, in Final Fantasy II, everybody dies.
Yeah.
And in Final Fantasy IV, we're going to make you think that everybody dies, but nobody dies.
Except Tella.
Yeah, Tella, Rip. And Anna. Tell and Anna, yeah, the only true. Two characters but, who died.
But Sid, I know, like, we've talked about this, but Sid jumps, the 50-year-old man jumps off of an airship, falls like a mile through the air, detonates a suicide bomber vest on him, and then sleeps it off.
Yep. Just, yeah. And then you can add him back to your party.
They got like a studio note that was like... You can't have and everybody
Yang
die.
And also flies up, gets woken up by a pan to the head.
That also, two characters just fully get blown up and come back. But yeah, that's also kind of the thing, is that, you know, us American kids didn't get Final Fantasy II, so we didn't really even know to expect that. So yeah. I think by the time a lot of us played Final Fantasy II, the fact that the characters are actually permanently dead was probably really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Oh my god, really?
Again? They just,
this guy's blinking out now? How many people are going to blink out in this game?
I mean, enough god. That you can make like a bonus chapter where they're your party members.
Well, do you know about the Final Fantasy II thing? Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm playing through that right now. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, we love Final Fantasy IV in this house. That's
oh, yeah, yeah.
We do, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although it's not Russ's favorite of these... Because it's not Final Fantasy V.
Right. Only because it is so... It's like the most linear Final Fantasy, period.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
And that's where it loses a few marks.
It is a play.
But
it is,
I am okay with it. I love 4. 5 is great, too. The hardest trophy I had for 5 was you have to encounter every monster.
Yeah.
Right? You have to beat at least one of every monster. But I had 4 times experience on, and when you're going up the mountain to get the dragon herb and like the earthquake drops down, and I think her name's Merilith shows up.
Oh, yeah. The hunter lady, yeah.
I killed her before her husband showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And so I couldn't get the trophy for encountering. I had to then start a new game and speed run my butt to her to encounter her husband.
Yeah, that happens.
To get that trophy.
Because in speedruns,
I would have liked to.
You need to kill her before the husband shows up to keep your speed.
Like with what you were saying about Final Fantasy IV, I wish Final Fantasy V was more written in the sense that I wish I knew where these people came from. Like, they show you this rogue gallery, you know, of all these villains that you have to fight at the end. And I'm like, who are any of these people? They're just bosses that I have to fight. It's Mystic Quest all over again, just like, haha, you can't get the crystal, I'll beat you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Flamerous Rex, what's your story?
Yeah. it's just so breakable. There's so many different ways to play the game, to finish the game. I like to do the 4 job challenges where you just use 4 jobs.
Mechanically, it's really cool.
All of
and,
that
I even like the story quite a lot.
Yeah.
It honestly was fun for me to turn on like AP gain to 4 times and then go into the basement of that one dungeon so that you use the blue magic to just kill the statues and max out every job for everybody. Yeah. And then everybody became mimes and I was able to build them into these just unstoppable death machines.
Yep.
Yep. That is a thing you can do.
That was fun.
The thing about Final Fantasy V is that I've always had such a hard time playing all the way through it because there's always some point at which I just drop off. And the thing that actually got me to stop doing that was playing it 2-player with a friend, the PS1 version, where she would not tolerate any grinding. So we went through the game, and you just had to be smart about what you were doing in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being much more the preferred experience.
Yeah. And so, I mean, because I just run those games so often back to back, I don't ever grind in any of those Final Fantasies anymore. Even when Rydia joins in level one, it's like you just plow your way through.
Yeah, Rydia will be fine.
And then we come to the end of our journey.
Oh, and I'm just going to say, I like Krylee. I think she's fine.
Yeah, Krylee's great.
Yeah.
I always call her...
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Galoof.
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 What I was going to say is I like how expressive, like, they really amped up the, like, pixel art game in 5. Because, like, 4 starts it and does it a little bit. But then 5 is really like
costume changes, expressions
and the big eyes and the laughing and the.
And by the way, Final Fantasy 5, what villains do get actual story is really entertaining. I love Xdeath and I love Gilgamesh.
I love Gilgamesh. Yeah. I just love Gilgamesh in the Final Fantasy universe, just out there floating. He's what makes it a cohesive universe. Mm-hmm. He's the thing ties Final Fantasy together. Right. I love that.
The 8-armed linchpin or whatever.
I encountered him in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and fighting him with the Battle on the Big Bridge song.
And
oh, so good.
That was very good. And I also love that they retained the goofy-ass translation from the GBA version. And it has now bled into like Rebirth, because one of his things he says when you summon him after that battle is, "It's Morphin time." Or Gilgamesh, "It's Morphin time."
He pulls out Excalibur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are all lines that were just added by whoever translated the Game Boy Advance version. And I should say, by the way, that this is the same company that handled the PlayStation versions, the Game Boy Advance versions, and the Pixel remasters are all Tosei.
Mm.
So it's very funny that they've had their hand in all of these versions of the game. Yeah. Anyway.
And then it's Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah. Oh, who cares? Just kidding.
I mean, that was our second longest review. Now that we've done Earthbound, it's our second longest review.
Well, it's 6 games. Briefly talking about them anyway.
Well, no, I'm talking when we reviewed Final Fantasy VI, it was our second longest review.
Yeah.
And it was our longest review until today when we recorded Earthbound. So we really have, I feel like we've covered all the notes other than the Pixel remaster looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they did 2D HD for the opera scene, because it doesn't look like the rest of the game.
I
get the opera scene is supposed to be a big deal, but like...
And the singing, you can listen to it in like 8 different languages.
Yeah, I like the singing in anything but English is great. I don't care for the English singer, but it's not because I don't think...
Take that.
I don't think that the singer is bad. I think that the singer is whatever. But the lyrics being changed to fit the meter, just really, as a songwriter myself, it makes me wince to see the way that they got the words to fit the meter as opposed to the original. The original was better poetry, even if it didn't fit the meter. We were used to that. We know that it's Japanese to English or whatever, and it's not going to fit the meter perfectly. You know, we fought Gato in a Chrono Trigger enough times to know.
Yeah, you can make that work.
You can force it to work if you like. I actually have a friend that does sing the opera in the Woolsey translation and forced it to fit the meter.
Yeah, it can be done.
It's doable. But yeah, just...
Is that Lauren?
Yeah, Lauren.
Lauren's not just a friend of yours. She's a friend of the show.
Oh, I know.
She was our original music reviewer.
Well, that's awesome.
You're her legacy.
But yeah, I just the way that they made the lyrics in the rewrite, and I think it's from the Game Boy Advance version. I'm not even sure that this is for the Pixel remaster. But that's the only thing where I'm just like, ugh.
Mm, yeah.
Put it in Italian, please. It's way better that way. Apparently the French one goes pretty hard too.
I'll have to check that
one out. Of the hardest ones to get in 6 was you have to do Setzer's roulette and get the one that kills everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Joker's doom.
But it turns out you can set him to just auto fight and have him do the roulette and just grind it out.
Yeah, yeah.
interesting.
Fun.
But yeah, I really like the Pixel remasters. I like them as definitive versions. I'm a little torn, but I'm mostly on board with the fact that they made them definitive versions of the original and not including any add-on content. Yeah. I do agree with Chris that the add-on content has always felt tacked on and never has felt an organic part of the game. So there is that.
If they made it, you know, if they really, really tried, they could make it work. But I don't think they did.
It'd be easy to put in a couple extra job classes into 5, right?
Right.
But Oracle. They didn't.
I know.
I like the Pixel remasters a lot, and it let me experience the games that I didn't like as much. You know, it made me appreciate them.
Can we go down the list and say what our favorite, you know, without really adding much explanation, but what our favorite of each version is of all the ones we played?
Oh, sure.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, do you want me to start?
It was your idea. Yes. You go.
Okay, my favorite FF1, NES. I love the NES version. I played 4 different versions of that one, but yeah, NES. FF2, actually think I got to give it to the Game Boy Advance. But I really like the Pixel Remaster version. It's just, I don't know, something about the Game Boy Advance one was just very charming to me. 3, Pixel Remaster. I think that's really the definitive version of that for me. 4, I'm actually going to go ahead and give it to the Pixel Remaster. I think that that's just a beautiful way to present that game, and they didn't have to, you know, add anything to make it better. 5, I'm going to give the Pixel Remaster, and then 6, I'm going to go with just the SNES original.
Good. I'm honestly straight Pixel Remaster.
Right on.
I just enjoyed the experience so much.
1, NES. There's something about it.
Yeah.
About the sounds, sure, from
there's
the
a
NES.
There's a texture to it.
There's a texture to it. 2, Pixel Remaster.
Yeah, right on.
3, this is going to be weird, DS.
Okay.
Sure.
I liked that they gave the kid, like,
they actually gave the characters personality.
They gave the characters personality.
And names.
And names and everything like that. So I'll go with, like, 3DS PC.
That's legit.
Whatever. 4 GBA, because I actually really did like that bonus
dungeon.
That's
a really good, yeah.
And, like, using the original, or the Zorama sprite from the Japanese Easy Type version, or whatever. That was the, like, new final boss. Really loved that dungeon, so I'm going to go with GBA. 5, I'm going to give to the Pixel Remaster, except I like the exploit in the GBA version where the blue magic vampire ability just restores all your health. It's not draining, like, the amount of HP the monster has, but it's just, like,
one thing
healing.
Sorry.
Yeah.
One thing I have to give the original Final Fantasy V over the Pixel Remaster, Battle on the Big Bridge theme, Gilgamesh fighting theme. It's untouchable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they did not improve it at all
No,
how could you?
I understand that. But I'm still going to give it overall the Pixel Remaster.
And also, it slightly annoys me in every loop of the Big Bridge, that one horn that goes right at the end. Right. You do that one time in a song to show your trumpeter has chops. One time.
It's a
1 minute long song, and it happens every minute. Why?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. And then 6, I'll sit Pixel Remaster for that one.
Right on.
Yeah.
So
there's something about Final Fantasy 1 on the NES.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So go get you some Pixel Remasters, and hopefully we get to have a conversation like this in a couple years about the first 6 Dragon Quest 2D HDs.
Hopefully you can find a physical version of the 6-pack of them.
Yeah. I never did find a physical version. I prefer physical games, but on this one, I went ahead and bought them virtual.
I bought the big $350, collector set.
Well, Fancy Pants McGee over here.
Brokey Pants McGee.
That was for Russ.
That was. I'm 41.
How do you
I'm
spell
chauffeur? TikTok. Chauffeur.
Well, Fancy Pants Rich McGee over here.
Wait. Yeah. Final Fancy Pants.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done.
The
on
new
that
single
note.
From Reba McEntire.
Nope, that Final Fancy Pants is where we're out.